Blog Hi, everybody. Talk this Radio. Is...
She always gets in the way of my introduction. Hi, everybody. This is Kelly Connors, and I'm host of Real Women on Health. And Real Women on Health is an online radio show and community for women who want to be their own best health and well-being advocate. And today on the show, I have a wonderful creative partner here. Her name is Jody March. And Jody is living outside the Philadelphia area. She's a member of the Healthcare Businesswomen Association, and she is a former Johnson & Johnson IT consultant who became a creative coach. And we had a wonderful conversation introducing ourselves to each other and realized, wow, we have so much in common, and we kind of come at this creativity, well-being angle from different places. So I'd love to introduce Jody to you. Welcome, Jody, and thanks for joining the show.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really, really excited.
Yeah, well, I'm excited that you're interested in sharing three ways to tap into or find your inner artist. And just for me, what struck me about the work that you're doing is that for years people had told me, you know, you're not creative, because I was in the advertising business for quite a while. In fact, I met my husband there. He's a creative director. So I always thought, oh, he's creative. I'm not. And kind of looking at it that way, like, you know, you're either creative or you're not. And once I married him, I realized, oh, he's creative at work, but, like, I do a lot of really creative things. How come I'm not in, you know, I just started to wonder, like, gee, this is kind of funny. I went to way more galleries and was interested in art much more than he actually was from a cultural standpoint, different reasons. He's more of a graphic artist. But, you know, my education, I had a master's in public health and, you know, followed a career in advertising in the healthcare business and always wanted to be an artist. But I was told that I wasn't an artist, so I didn't pursue creativity in a way that I think could have been really helpful in my career. So how did you get into this kind of work?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, most of my career I've been kind of not creative. Or not used a lot of creativity in my work. But there was, when I kind of look back on it now and I think about, you know, how did I come up with technology solutions? You know, how did we create processes? I mean, actually, when I look back, there is creativity inserted in every part of our lives. But I didn't really feel that way. And I felt kind of creatively stifled and wanted to let that other part of me come out, but I was afraid. And I felt like I didn't get the creative gene that the rest of my family has. My mother is an artist. She sells her paintings in galleries. She's amazing. In fact, she actually started painting when she was 52 with no training. And she was just given a lot of recognition this past year, had many paintings sell. And so she's been a big inspiration for me.
I bet. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Yes. And so I, 3 years ago, was let go as part of a massive layoff where I worked. And I just, you know, used that time. I thought, you know what, I've always felt like there's this other part of me that I want to explore, and I want deeper meaning in what I'm doing. And so I gave myself a permission slip, honestly, to take time and figure out what I wanted to be when I grew up, so to speak, which is why I love your program about designing the second half of your life. I think that is brilliant, because I think we all get to this point in our lives, 40-ish, plus or minus however many years, where, you know, we kind of have had that hunger and drive, and we've been working so hard and raising our families, and now we get to this point where we're, like, really ready for something richer and deeper in our lives. And that's where I was. So I started consulting part-time, and I've been doing that for a number of years, but I started experimenting and doing all kinds of things. And I was introduced to a woman who's named Whitney Freya. She is out in Oregon, and she has a program called Creatively Fit. And so I took her creativity coaching program. And, you know, there's a lot of personal application to this and business application, but I will tell you in my own personal experience, I was really afraid of painting. Like, I was really afraid of it, even though I really wanted to do it. And so once I went through the certification process, I just was like surprised by the unexpected side effects that happen when you really allow yourself to explore your own creativity. I really did not know what would happen and the shifts that would happen in my life. So I started doing retreats and classes and stuff where I live, and in Pennsylvania. And I had an epiphany kind of about a year ago, actually, when I've been reading and doing all kinds of things in addition to just the creativity pieces, but it really felt like, boy, this is so needed. This mind shift is so needed in corporate. And in the last 6 years, I've been working with innovation platforms. A lot of companies are really wanting to be innovative to be ahead of competition, obviously, to keep themselves fresh and have new offerings and work more smarter and leaner. And I've been the IT person and consultant alongside of a couple of these initiatives. And, you know, one of the things that really is key and I think missing in a lot of cases is this sort of focus on developing a culture. Like, really, it's about people and their thinking and opening their minds to think in new ways so that they can be creative in not only their work, but in all aspects of their life. So it's just become this real passion of mine that I'm very excited about, and I know what's happened to me personally, and I am a big believer in it. I've connected the dots to personal lives and in working life, and so I'm still on the journey. You know, I feel like this call is part of the journey. It's very applicable to connecting to this creator self that we actually all are. We might see it as strictly art making, what I'm talking about, but that's just a modality to teach what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the whole thing, is that when, as I said earlier, you know, people said to me, "Oh, you're not a creative, you're a suit, because you work in an ad agency, so you're the suit and your husband is the creative, or the creative department is creative, but account management isn't." And when you kind of think of it that way, you're really limiting how you think about creativity.
Absolutely.
That was within the confines of an ad agency, and there's still a lot of creativity that happens even behind the scenes in account management, whether from a management perspective, but just problem solving. Isn't creativity all about solving a problem?
Absolutely. Look, creativity is, it's in, you know, how you get to work when there's an accident on the main route that you take, or if you're a sales rep, you know, they have to spend a lot of time mapping out how they drive to work every day. It is how you get your kids to eat vegetables. I mean, it is, creative thinking is involved in, we're all doing it. We just don't necessarily look at it that way. But it is a way of giving your mind kind of a shift so that you can become more powerful and confident, too, in your ideas, whether they're at work or in your personal life.
Right. So you've been a creativity coach, and, you know, you've been doing this for personal and for professional reasons. Can you describe the shift that took place in you? You mentioned that when you got your certification that it really, the bell went off, and that something in you really shifted. Can you describe what that was like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I want to just elaborate for a second, too, on, like, you know, we call this, like, finding your inner artist, which might feel scary to people right off the bat. Because it's like, artist, oh my gosh, I can't draw a straight line. That's not for me. So many people talk about that. And really, what I want to make sure that people understand is that while art can be part of the way to find your inner artist, really what it's about is essentially a reintroduction to that part of you that is innately there. So, like, for example, when you were saying, oh, people have said, oh, well, your husband's a creative person or whatever, you know, there's many stories and many times that, you know, we can all identify with, like when we were a child or a teenager or whenever, when somebody said, oh, you know, you're not creative, or, you know, somewhere you got this idea, this belief about your creativity that shut you down. Or maybe you think making art is only for artists who are starving, right? It's that kind of belief around art, or they don't see the purpose of it. But really finding your inner artist, I mean, it is a skill that is needed in the workplace now, and I will talk a little bit more about that later. But basically, it's really kind of a reintroduction to that part that was shut down a long time ago. And it's where, you know, your ideas come from. It's where problems are solved. It's where your personal boundaries and literal boundaries are removed. And really it's about finding it's like a journey, really, to get through that, like, inner critic stage and into this what I call creatively confident stage. So it's sort of an approach to creativity around that needs to be approached with regularity and also discipline. And it can just at times involve painting. So some of the shifts that you can expect when you find this inner artist within you is, one is just very simply that you find that there's a new set of tools in your toolbox. So which we all have many tools, whether they're ways to cope or ways to think or just, you know, ways to take care of ourselves, wellness, personal wellness. So these are tools. It's a set of tools that really can kind of allow you to lean on even on the spot. So, for example, if you've ever been at work and you're just like, you know, stuck, you know, you're trying to think of something, you have this project, you have these words you have to come up with to write something, put a presentation together, et cetera, and so forth. There are tools and techniques that you can use to get your mind kind of shifted. And some of the tools that I coach about are really kind of counterintuitive and may even be thought of as unusual, but really it's about giving yourself space so that your creative thinking can kind of come through you. And when that happens, it just sort of enhances your overall confidence in your creative ability, and that's really, really key. A second benefit that can happen is really about increased engagement. And so this is important for individuals and companies because, you know, in our workplace, like we tend to think of leaders as being the thinkers of our organization, and that's true. That's not untrue. But there are, you know, you got to love our introverts as well, right? They're sitting throughout the organization, and they're your thinkers. But they may be shy to bring things to the table. They may have a lot of ideas, and even because of group dynamics, you may not get to hear their full idea. And so really this increased engagement comes through kind of this creative confidence that can be created through finding your inner artist. It can kind of remove some of those barriers that are typically found in an organization, you know, when you have your team dynamics or because of the layers in an organization. So once a person individually sort of can get beyond their own limiting beliefs about, you know, their own creativity and creative thinking, then they are more willing to contribute. So engagement will increase. And then, you know, the more that you're engaged, the more confident you are, the more happy you are, the more action that you take, and the more chances you have of success. A third benefit go ahead.
So those are all like well-being results, what you just talked about, well-being results of finding your inner artist. And I feel like in our society that is not as valued because it's very soft skill. So we value confidence, but along with confidence, we value power, we value innovation, but they seem to be hard topics. They're harder topics than finding your inner artist. And so I think that that's kind of a conundrum that we have about thinking of it that way. Finding your inner artist almost feels a little luxurious, a little self-indulgent, doesn't it to you? Or
sure.
I mean, I think it's a barrier. I think that's the barrier.
Oh, definitely. I definitely think it is. And in fact, in my personal experience with some innovation programs, you know, what typically can happen is that the processes and I've read about this too, so it's not even just my own experience, but this is a typical problem where, you know, they kind of focus, they want innovation to be a core competency in the company, right? I mean, that's like, you can wrap your head around that, right? We need to be ahead of the competition. We need more ideas. We have our great people. We need to harness these ideas. But, and so what happens, now I'm on the IT side, right? And I can tell you that the first thing you should do is not develop a system to capture your employees' ideas. That's actually kind of a down-the-road thing, in my opinion, of where you should focus. Because just a little story to tell you and share that really just impacted me profoundly was that I was the IT person implementing a brand-new innovation platform that was going out globally to a company and very excited about it. And we had enlisted a number of senior leadership throughout the organization to kind of evangelize this. And so I was sitting with a VP, and we were going to put his idea into our brand-new system and have it there so that when we went live, we had some ideas already seeded in this program. So he's putting his idea throughout this, and when he goes to hit send or save, he turned to me and looked at me and said, "What if they laugh at my idea?" And I will never forget that moment because I thought, oh, my gosh, like, to me, this guy was like, you know, I never thought those words would come out of it. He was like a celebrity to me. I thought he was like, you know, very well respected. He was very successful, very, very, I really admired this guy. I would have never thought he would have been worried about his own idea and putting it out there. So I feel that, and you know, what ends up happening is that these systems get put out and people try to harness their creativity, or they think that people are creative, which they are. However, this sort of, I think what's needed and what's shifting in the workplace is really around needing this like new level of thinking to kind of create the new. And, you know, sometimes after these innovation programs, I've seen it where it's like the systems and processes are put in place and then it's like check, done. You know, we now have a place that all these people have all these ideas and they can now put them in the system. But then sometimes those ideas come in and there are things like, you know, we would like to, we want a new gym at our location, or we want, you know, they're more of like a request box sort of thing, and then the leadership gets frustrated with the quality of the ideas that are coming through. And so I think that for me what it comes down to is really kind of getting people to understand how they can really get themselves into a different mode of thinking and looking with new perspective. And then, you know, you have to go through a number of ideas to really get a good one. But when you have these sort of tools in your mind, then you can kind of really get to a new level. And I think it is a challenge for companies to really see these soft skills as needed. I do.
Yeah. I think the soft skills, like the mindset shifts that result from finding your inner artist, I think that's the key thing, is like shifting your mindset from black and white to full color. And when you see full color, you also see shades of gray and ambiguity. Mm-hmm. And to me, there's that analogy that allows, if we think about it that way, going from black and white to color, it allows you to actually see multiple perspectives and to be comfortable in the range of possibilities as opposed to just black or white. And to me, thinking about solving a problem and looking at it from black or white, sometimes that's all that's required. We're clearly downstream, and we've done a lot of the creative processing, and now we just have to make a decision, chocolate or vanilla.
Yes.
But
yes,
before we get there is the opportunity to use this mindset shift to affect productivity, to affect quality of creative ideas, to affect quality of life, including
yes.
happiness, which has been shown by scientists to actually be a predictor of longevity. And so, I know we're
mm-hmm.
talking about workplace and now it's, you know, your personal health, but there's lots of these extraneous benefits that, to me, I guess it's culturally relevant, or it's to be culturally determined, because some companies don't place a value on certain things except, you know, on the personal health front. Maybe they're looking at inner artists as, no, we're going to rename it the innovation process. Whatever they call
mm-hmm.
it,
mm-hmm.
it's what's required is for people to tap into their inner artist. And, you can make it as hard or as soft as you want to make it, right? I mean,
yes.
It's either to do something really engineering-oriented on the innovation side, or it could be customer service. And if it's customer service, then that whole empathy piece comes into play. And there's definitely
yeah.
creativity involved in that as well. So I love this whole topic because I think it does extend from sort of the hard science area to the personal well-being and everywhere in between. It's just a matter of how do you apply
yep.
the process of finding your inner artist and what's your end goal.
I agree.
Look like? Is it for corporate productivity, innovation, or is it for personal health and well-being? And I bet there's
mm-hmm.
lots of similarities, but maybe there's a shift
mm-hmm.
as well. But I would love to talk with you about that at an upcoming, be fun to do an HBA event around that, because I think that's really
mm-hmm.
Engaging for people to see that there's more than just the company that benefits. It's the person that benefits as
yeah.
well.
Right. It
I think
is
that's
the one
exciting.
Way. Yes.
Yeah,
there,
definitely.
There's a topic, too, if anybody who listens to this wants to ever Google, and it's called The Future of Work. It's actually like a thing, a topic that's being discussed, and it has been for years. But, you know, it really does talk about sort of, the millennials and the expectations and shifts that are happening in the workplace, which we know, right, that the landscape of work is always changing, but it is changing right now, right? We are in a big change right now, politically, environmentally. There's a lot of things that are kind of happening right now. And the shift that's happening is companies really are starting to recognize that they have to make real efforts to offer some of these other things that may not have historically really been prioritized. You know, things around like telecommuting, things like standing desks, even collaborative working, remote working, flexible working. Like, these are all things that are part of this sort of future of work. Freelancing, you know, that's like on the increase, and that trend is going to continue. It's said that, you know, these companies are kind of starting to embody new values, and they're going to be run by those values, and that even, you know, they talk about women are going to be increasingly at the controls. And all of this is sort of happening, you know, in a far less secure working world. We know now that we don't necessarily, the days of staying at a company for 20 some years, it's not that does not exist, but that's not the norm anymore. People are shifting gears. They are having to shift companies, and they are, you know, what's happening too is that you really are having to, reinvent yourself sometimes as a person, you know, and where you're going in your career. You have to reinvent yourself sometimes 1, 2, 3 times, sometimes by choice or sometimes by situation. But companies are all
yeah.
kind of in the same place, you know what I mean? Because they are also having to reinvent themselves at times, you know. There's a lot of acquisitions that are happening. I mean, I've always been in the pharma world, and there's always change that's happening, you know, and kind of figuring out, okay, now these two companies are now one, so now what are we going to be? And so this sort of, you know, this is evolving, and I think these things are changing, and the expectations of people are changing, and companies are acknowledging that. So my hope is that this thinking and and all of these things are just going to continue to grow, and that it's just a win-win. I can talk about
absolutely. Absolutely. I think you've hit on something, and it's so cool that you've gone from J&J IT, being a consultant in a corporation. Are you still there, by the way? I kind of lost that at the beginning. Am I saying that right?
Not at
You're
J&J.
Still employed?
No,
not at J&J. Okay.
I'm still consulting. Yes. Right now I am like IT/innovation consulting.
Oh, that's great. So you're actually getting able to apply what you have done in the past, meaning, you know, after you left your job at J&J and you got into this whole creative coaching field, you're able to really use that in your current work as a freelancer. So that just shows that, you know, what do you do when you're in job transition and you have some free time, because it doesn't take all day to look for your next job? You know, that's a great opportunity to develop some of these skills.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a surprising experience, but in terms of the way that I have experienced it, but I think that it's applicable to all aspects of your life. And in fact, I've done a lot of work with kids, young girls, to teach them some of these same principles. And you know, when you feel confident that you can kind of create your life, so to speak, you know, be the creator, be in charge of your life, that's a good feeling.
Oh, absolutely. There's freedom in that. So
yeah.
I think that our time is running up now against the clock here for our half-hour show, and you can obviously hear the jazz playing in the background. I'm at the cafe across from Takeda Pharmaceuticals on Mass Ave in Boston, Cambridge. I just want to thank you, Jody, for coming on the show and for being so awesome about sharing your experience and your process. And can you say succinctly in just a couple minutes three ways to find your inner artist?
Mm-hmm.
I know we were going to do some exercises, which we can do in person with people, but is there any succinct way we could think about it in terms of finding your inner artist?
Yeah. So the first thing that I would suggest is just to start playing. Just allow yourself to play. So literally, and that would be, you know, grabbing paint, glue, whatever, and just start playing. You don't even have to go out and buy all these materials. You can just find things that are at home, crayons, anything. And even if you get really judgmental of yourself, you know, close your eyes and do it with your non-dominant hand. Do anything so that you can kind of get over your inner critic self and allow yourself just to play. The second thing is, and I'm going to make these quick, but I could elaborate much more on them. There's another really fun exercise that it's called the scribble exercise, and here's how it goes. So you basically can grab any piece of paper and any pencil, pen, whatever you have handy, and you just sort of center yourself for a few seconds, just taking a deep breath and sort of be present, and then just scribble on the paper real fast for about 2-3 seconds, and then stop and look at what you did. And you're going to do an exercise that's sort of, what do I see when I look in the cloud? Like, kind of look and ask yourself, what do I see? And it doesn't matter if nobody else would see this. It's what you see. And I want you to think about 5 words that come to your mind by looking at this scribble, okay? And you can turn your paper a couple of times to look at it from different angles. And then just write down the first 5 words. This is a very right brain exercise, which we didn't really get to talk too much about, but it's a muscle that needs to be strengthened. So once you do that, then you can kind of make a title of this scribble drawing. If it was a piece of artwork, what would be the title, or what would be the message that's coming out of it? That is an excellent, excellent exercise to do. And you can do it in groups, too, where you scribble and you pass it around to a number of people until it comes back to you. And it is fun. It's a really fun and great way to start out a meeting and get people in a positive, creative spirit.
Awesome. That sounds great. Well, I am just getting ready to find my inner artist. This conversation got me super excited about it. And I love the idea of overcoming your inner critic and really going for your inner artist.
Mm-hmm.
A whole other way of hearing your voice and hearing or finding what's possible, some new possibilities for your work or for your
life.
So thank you again, Jody. I'll sign off here.
Thank you so much, everybody,
for listening. And I hope Jody and I will that we'll be working together shortly in some HBA capacity, and look forward to that opportunity very much.
Oh, thank you. I'm really, really excited. Thank you so much.
Okay, we'll talk soon. And thanks to everybody for listening. My website to find out more is kellyconnors.com. That's K-E-L-L-E-Y, Connors, C-O-N-N-O-R-S.com. Or you can go to designyournext.com. Designyournext.com. Thanks, Jody. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.